In another year, when this is nice and thick and full, we won't really have to weed it and we'll never have to water it ever.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name's Pete. I work here at Green Venture. I'm the Eco House Manager, and we're going to show you around what we do. I work for Green Venture, which is a nonprofit environmental organization. We go out into the community and we show people how they can be better on the environment. Sustainable is a new word. A lot of things that we do, we make garbage, we take stuff, we make stuff, and it's just not sustainable. So sustainable means that we can live for thousands of years without hurting the earth, and we're far from being sustainable. But it's somewhere where we want to go eventually. Okay. And sustainable or sustainability, you're going to hear that word maybe more and more from environmentalists. I guess you could call me an environmentalist. Personally, I think I'm just kind of a normal person who does things that doesn't really affect my lifestyle but are easier on the environment. Because if we were actually environmentalists, we'd probably live in caves and hunt our own food and grow our own food. And we wouldn't drive cars, that's for sure. So here we have Eco House. It's 150 years old. That side of Eco House is 150 years old. This side was built in the 60s. And two old guys, the Beavers brothers, lived here till they were really old and made a deal with the city. And they said, if you come cut the grass to the city, then we'll give you the house. So the city said, sure. So really, you guys all own this house, which is great. We've leased it for a buck a year from the city till 2012 at least. And we got all sorts of neat stuff that people can see. And we will be adding neat stuff like wind turbines and solar panels and green roofs. Green roofs are like cool. That pavilion right there.
Yeah.
That has a green roof on it. But over in Europe, they have on all their roofs, not all their roofs, but a lot of roofs, more than you think, actual living green plant material. And there's some places in North America that actually have parks and stuff on the roof. So it'd be kind of neat to have a park or be able to grow food on your roof. And there's even places like in BC where they have goat on the roof to eat the grass, to keep the grass cut. And there's a place in Alberta that has prairie dogs, which are like groundhogs.
Yeah.
And they live on top of the roof and they're all happy and happy. So green roofs mostly collect stormwater, because you know when it rains, the rain just hits all the asphalt and all the concrete and everything and it gets whisked away, right? Instead of going into the ground, like in a forest or a field, all the rain goes into the ground. That's what we want it to do, because it gets clean and it also recharges groundwater and stuff. Here in the city, we don't really care about that. We just let it go. So you can do stuff like this rain barrel right here. It's got a top, right? And on there goes a mesh screen. So these all line up here, under here. And when it rains, we collect that rainwater. And when this one gets full, it fills up that one, and then it fills up that one. And we could have this whole thing full of rain barrels if we wanted to. And that gives us nice water, because it's water. It's free water to use on our lawns and gardens, right? And to fill that up out of the tap would cost you about 45 cents. So these things pay for themselves pretty quick. So this is one way of preventing runoff or collecting storm water. And the green roofs also, they work like a big sponge. So they just suck up the water and then slowly let it evaporate. So it helps to reduce that runoff, which is great. And we'll talk about runoff a little bit more. This over here is our community garden. And in there, people from mostly from the apartment building and stuff come over here. People that don't have backyards or not a lot of money will come here and they grow their own vegetables and take them home. So in there we have things like pumpkins and cantaloupe and all sorts of herbs and carrots and peppers and tomatoes. And we grow it all organically. So we don't use pesticides. They kill plants or insects.
Like insects.
And some people think that they work, well, they do. They work really well, and they're very cheap, which is why they're so popular. But they do, a lot of people will say they cause other problems like cancer and stuff. So we try not to use them around here. So when we find bugs, we make our own homemade sticky traps sometimes with stuff called tanglewood, so the bugs just stick to it. Or sometimes we go out and we just squish the bugs. Like last year we had cucumber beetles, so we looked for them, and when we saw them, we squished them, and that was enough to control them. We didn't have to go and spray everything crazy. And also, mildew. You know, in your shower or your bathtub, you get out that mildew, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the same stuff that comes out into the garden, too. Maybe on the pumpkin leaves, you'll get a little bit of mildew. To prevent that, we use milk. So we mix 10% or one part milk to nine parts water, and we spray that on the leaves to change the pH of the leaf, and then that helps to prevent the mildew, because mildew eats the leaves and then kills the plant. So that's one way that we control bugs. We also have lots of slugs 2 years ago when it was real wet. So we put out boards that were 1 square foot, and we put them out, and the slugs would go under there, and in the morning we'd turn it over and squish the slugs. So a lot of squishing, but it's a lot safer than, you know, the only people that get hurt, I guess, are the slugs. But the bacteria got to eat too, right? So it's all good. This is all native species in here, and we have all native species over there. So we're in a place called the Carolinian Forest Zone. And we're right at the tip of it. So this goes from here to Erie, if you've ever been down to Erie. And then when you start going north, you start getting into what they call a transitional zone, and then you get into the boreal forest. You know, when you go up north, you know, when it's all rocky and it's the rocks look really different, they're pink and black and stuff way up north, that's the boreal forest. So you see lots of things like spruce and white pine, but around here you see deciduous trees. So that's things that don't have their leaves right now. Deciduous lose their leaves. But yeah, native plants originally started in this area. So BC has native plants. And in fact, that's on top of our green roof. That's a native plant to BC. But you always want something that's, because every plant is native to somewhere. And unfortunately, we get these introduced plants like purple loosestrife. You guys heard of that one? So that's native to somewhere. It's just not native to here. And once it gets over here, it creates problems. So yeah, we use a lot of native plants. So we have a lot of stuff in here. But these are green roof modules. So these things, you would grow these on your property. You would load them all up on a trainer truck. Mm-hmm. Then you take them to a building and lift them up on the building. And then these would be all seamless. So you could grow even trees and stuff in here. These are typically used in North America to make sports fields. On Toronto City Hall, they've got four green roof plots. One of them's a black walnut plot. One's a butterfly garden, another one's a native species garden. Chicago City Hall is in the middle of Chicago. And if you've ever been to Chicago, it's just a bunch of buildings. But they have this nice meandering green roof, and because they're in the middle of the city, they actually have to have bees up there to pollinate the plants, right? Because there's no bees in the middle of Chicago except at the green roof. So it's kind of cool. And they're all different systems, and they're all engineered. Every year in Germany, they put 10 million square meters in alone in Germany. So really? It's like, it's not a new thing. But they have subsidies and incentives. Like over there, if you can capture 80% of your stormwater, you only pay 20% of the tax.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
So we all know that in a tumble, so it's called a tumbling composter, right?
Yeah.
The most important thing inside there, what breaks down the food is bacteria, right? Yeah. Little very small bacteria. So bacteria live on the food, but they need oxygen. And the oxygen feeds the bacteria, which eat the food and break it into compost. So you got to get lots of oxygen in there. So some people, like I'm kind of lazy, so I don't turn my compost, but a lot of people will turn their compost, and it makes it faster. Because composting happens, right? If you put a big pile of leaves down on the ground, it's going to break down, right? Just like the forest floor, all the leaves fall and it makes compost for the trees around it. But we can make it really fast. We can really speed up the composting process, and we can do that. I'll show you inside how we do that inside, but outside you use tumblers. So this will get lots of air to the bacteria. And this, as opposed to one of these, or maybe you can see the black compost over there, that might take you 6 months or a year to get compost out of. This will take you maybe 3 months or 6 months to get compost out. And if you batch compost, which means put all your stuff to the side, which nobody does, and then put it in full, you can get compost in 2 weeks, which is pretty cool. This woman here is talking about just making a hole and putting your stuff in there and letting it compost in there, and that's a good way to do it. Some people will do that here in Canada, because if you make it deep enough, you get the heat from the earth, so you can compost all year round.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a real pain in the rear end, because you got to put like 12 inches of stuff on top. So either like straw or something. So every time you add, you got to go out and it's going to be frozen on top of it. And again, Mother Nature, right? If you just make a pile of leaves, it'll be compost. It might take three or 4 years.
Yeah. But and that's all compost. That really is. It's just keeping it to a specific area.
Or that just makes it tidy. But at the same time, that gets you get a lot of air going through that, right? Exactly. So it's kind of nice.
So what's the point of compost?
What do we use it for?
Well, it's food for plants, right? Anything that lives needs food. So compost has, well, when you go and you buy plant food at the store, it's usually chemicals. And it has three numbers on it. There's three major numbers. There's it goes nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Up, down, all around. Now those three things either come from petroleum, nitrogen comes from natural gas, and phosphorus is mined right out of the ground. So it makes a big nasty mess. So they're all non-sustainable for one. So there will come a day when we don't have fertilizer like that. Compost, most people put their, a lot of people still put their like apple cores and stuff in the garbage that goes to a landfill where it doesn't break down because there's no oxygen. So that apple core might be there in 600 years from now, right?
Cool.
Well, it's cool, but eventually, you know, just us with our garbage, you could probably fill this deck up in a couple of months, right? Still, you make a lot of garbage. So compost has all those major nutrients, plus a whole bunch of what they call micronutrients in there. So there's like all these other little micronutrients that plants need that the chemical ones don't give you. And compost can hold water, so it helps prevent evaporation as well. Compost has disease-fighting qualities, so when you spray it on plants, you make tea and you spray it on plants, it can help fend off diseases and fungus. It's the best fungicide out there. It makes a cycle, so you eat your apples, you make the plants eat it, you eat the plants, and everything goes back into something rather than take stuff from the ground. Use it on your plants to grow plants, eat your plants, and then throw the garbage into the garbage, which goes to a landfill. So it's, there's nothing connected. And Mother Earth has everything, right? Like the water evaporates, makes rain, comes down. We breathe out carbon, it goes into the trees, they make oxygen, we breathe in. So everything with Mother Earth goes like in a circle. Conservation, like if we spent $35 billion on conservation, we'd go a lot further. Because even if we get wind power up and solar power and everything, it's not going to meet our needs of blowing hot air out the windows and having 500,000 lights on and using inefficient appliances. So we need more conservation. No matter how much wind or anything we get, we need conservation. And there's ways to do it without being cold all the time and uncomfortable. And you know, like Europeans have been doing it for a long time and other places. It's just that we have cheap electricity, cheapest water in the world, so where everything comes cheap, they throw it out, right?
Yeah.
So all the paint in EcoHouse, or almost all of it, is reused. So when people have paint, they take it down to Hots Environmentals, where our hazardous waste goes, and they filter it out and make paint. So some of it looks really ugly, like that brown, but usually it looks quite nice with the blues and the reds and everything. They filter it with this high-tech secret filter that you're not allowed to take pictures of or get close to within 100 feet of. And then they filter it out and make eight colors. Let's go in here.
Oh, nice. You can dry your clothes out here?
You can. If you stand in the sun, guys, that's the heater's not on. Well, the heater's on in the house, but this, what you feel right here, is called passive heat. So it's just the sun. And another thing we don't do really in Canada is design houses to capture this heat, store it, right? If you can, you want your house to face south, which is actually that way. Okay, so the sun comes out over here, heats this up, and if we had a good cement floor or maybe barrels filled with water, then we could use that heat through our house. That's called passive heat. So what you're feeling right now is passive heat. All right, so composting, we all know that one, right?
Yeah.
And that's our tumbler we're all familiar with. But if you don't have a backyard, you can still compost. This is called vermicompost. So vermi is Latin for worm. It's really not that scientific. I've killed them, I won't lie to you, but there's some simple rules, and if you follow them, you should have no problems. It's like, it's slightly easier than taking care of goldfish, which lots of people kill too. Now see these things, this is too wet. So sometimes you can use nature, they call them indicators. So sometimes you can look at bugs or birds and they can tell you something about the environment, okay? Now when I look in here, I see all these little red things on the side, right? And I'll scrape some up. See these?
Yeah.
If you look, they're moving, see? These are called mites. So they're not the same kind of mites that get into your plants. These are composting mites. And they're fine. They don't get out of the bin, usually. But this tells me that it's too wet in there. So when I see these guys, I know that I should leave the lid off for maybe a day or something, or maybe I should put some paper in there. So those guys are in there. You can also just hit them like that. And here, we've got worms, right?
Look, worms.
So there's a lot in there, and they're doing good. Be careful, because I don't want to drop this on your head. Now, inside this much compost, right there, about a gram or a teaspoon, there's as many microorganisms, things like bacteria and algae. Also, that smells nice and sweet. You know when you go in the bush after it rains, it smells nice and sweet? That's something called the actinomycetes, which is a small bug that makes that nice smell. So that's also what makes the smell. So there's 6 billion microorganisms in there. Same amount of microorganisms in that than there is humans on planet Earth.
Wow.
And what I'm doing is I'm looking for worm coon. Also, bacteria can make us sick, right? A lot of bacteria is good, but whenever we handle compost, we wash our hands. So that's why your guys aren't going to touch it. But I will, and I'm going to wash my hands. So I'm just looking for a worm cocoon first. There's a worm. That little thing there, actually, there's a worm coming out of it right now. It's birthing right now. You don't see that every day. Or every week, a worm like this, see this thing here, this thick part?
Yeah.
It's called the clitellum. Gotta be careful when I say that word, clitellum. That will go over its head like a sock, and it will put out one of these cocoons. And inside this cocoon, there's maybe 2 to 12 baby worms.
Wow.
And you can see a baby's coming out of there right now. So it looks kind of cool. Just see, it's just starting to stick out there.
Come and see.
You can't see.
Why does that big worm have a green thing in its head?
I will show you in a minute. So the worms do have a head and a tail. If you look at this guy, well, I can tell what the tail is because he's having a poop on me right there. Usually, we call worm poop castings. Usually, they don't poop on you or cast on you. So you can tell because remember that fat part that I said was the clitellum? That's closest to its head. And inside, it's just like a tube. And it eats food and then has castings. So this right here is the best compost in the world, right?
Wow.
And that also, with all the other good things that compost does, worms excrete something kind of like mucus, which is comes out of your nose, snot. And that worm mucus helps bind soil together, so it's really good for the soil. And also, worms can eat some pathogens or things that can hurt humans, and they pass it out and make it sterile, so they clean it.
Lights.
This is the same amount of light as that, but it's a quarter of the energy use. So you could run 4 of these for the same price as one of these, right? If everyone in Canada replaced one of these lights, it'd be the same in their house. It'd be the same as taking 66,000 cars off the road for air pollution.
Wow.
So it makes a big difference. Plus, it'll save you money. This, if you run it 8 hours a day, at today's energy prices, it costs you, what, about $30 to run. This one costs you about $8.
Yeah.
Also, the lifetime of this is 600 to 700 hours, which isn't too bad. Life of this is 7,000 to 10,000 hours. So this will last you 10 times as long. Now there is, they do come in globes. They used to, when you turn them on, they would take a second to come on. Now they're kind of instant ons.
Mm-hmm. What are they called again? What did you say?
Compact fluorescent lighting.
I've heard that the LED lights are very good.
LEDs, we're getting to that in a minute.
The toilet tank.
Yes.
Yeah, what the hell is that
one? Okay. Some toilets use like 20 liters of water per flush. If your toilet's over 20 years old, it uses about 3 of these every flush full of water.
Oh.
And that's about as much water as 2/3 of Africa gets every day to shower with, cook with, clean with, and we use it to flush once. So it's a waste of water. We can put these inside the tank, and they're just held there by friction. And the holes here, well, bricks are not good. Bricks will break down and wear away the enamel.
Right.
Plus, this will save 5 to 10 liters of water because the way they're designed. That's up to five 2-liter pop bottles. There's no way you're getting 5 2-liter pop bottles. And these are adjustable. You can move them out to the sides. You can pop one out. Some toilets that are 15 euros old use about 1.5 of these. And now you have toilets that use about half of these. And downstairs we have one that uses even less. So inside there, remember the pressure? Because the water's up in the tower.
Yeah.
It pressurizes this, and when you flush, it really gives you a good flush. So this actually goes, if you used it,
we won't flush it.
So what do you have? What do you have in there?
It's a pressure assist toilet. So it's a pressure from the municipal feed pressurizes it, and then when you flush it, it reduces it. That helps to flush water.
So how many liters?
That's 6. The building code now is 6. So any renos or any new building has to be 6, but we still sell 13.7 liter flushes.
You said you have one downstairs, it's even less.
It's a dual flush, it's even less. So let's go look at that real quick.
With the wild flowers blooming in the forest, the wild flower blooms amongst the weeds. I've seen violets and I've seen roses, but wildflower, you're beautiful to me. Up atop of the highest snow-capped mountain, or deep within the valleys down below, the wildflower won't be found in the garden where all the other flowers grow, from the seeds which have been sown by the ones who never see the wildflower. Would you try to pluck her and hold her in your hand? The wildflower fades, but then she blooms again. Through the years, the forces have conspired to tear her from the earth, which is her home. Her beauty rages like a deathless fire, and when all the rest have gone, she will greet the new day sun that smiles down upon the wildflower. Try to pluck her and hold her in your hand. Wildflower fades, but then she blooms again. Are the wildflowers blooming in the forest? And the wildflower blooms amongst the weeds. I've seen violets and I've seen roses, but wildflower, you're beautiful to me. Wildflower, you're beautiful to me. Wildflower, you're beautiful to me.
You are listening to Radio Facebook on CFMU.
Hi, I'm Bronwyn.
Okay, Bronwyn.
Mm-hmm.
How are clothes dried in your house?
We hang them out on the washing line. And that saves more energy.
So you don't have to use a dryer.
We have a rack. We dry our clothes in the basement in the winter time.
Yeah, some people don't know about washing lines, right?
You've got this big string down the backyard, from one part of the backyard to the other part of the backyard, and you take the laundry pegs and the clothes and peg them on, and then the wind and the sun dries them. Sometimes, and so you don't waste the energy. And on rainy days, we put our washing line. We've got a washing line in the basement, so we put that up too, as well as what we do in the winter. So we put the washing line in the basement for the winter time, and that's what we do.
But let's talk about composting. What do we have outside?
A big black bin, sort of. And it comes with a small tin one that you put your house scraps in, and once that's full, you put it into thing and then it composts and makes dirt.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of bees and stuff like to get in there. Worms and ants and centipedes. And lots of squirmy things. Earwigs, bugs, beetles, bees, hornets, things that want to eat the stuff.
So Bronwyn, if I went to look in your garbage bag, right, what would be in your garbage?
There would be leftovers. There'd be scraps. Mm-hmm. There'd be maybe corn cobs, banana peels.
But doesn't that go in the compost?
Not in the garbage.
Manny, if I looked in the garbage, what would you find?
You wouldn't find paper because that goes.
Recycling.
Yeah, a recycling box.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't find cardboard that went in a recycling box.
Mm-hmm. Take a look, okay. What's in the garbage?
Baguette bags, gum wrappers, cheese wrappers, coffee bags.
Baguette wrappers.
Okay, so basically coffee. Just wraps, right? Because now yeah. What do we have? What did we just get?
A green card.
And Brahman, what can you put in the green?
We can put wood chips, paper bags, mm-hmm. wood chips, in the, mm-hmm. and we can put baked cookies, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. cookies, muffin thing, and hair, potato skins.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you can put it.
Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to read the list.
Okay, what goes in your green cart? Baked goods, bones, bread, butter and margarine, cake, candy, cereal, cheese, cookies, coffee, filters and grounds, corn cobs and husks, dairy products,
mm-hmm.
dough, eggs and eggshells, fish and fish parts, grease, lard, fat, herbs and spices, jams and jellies, mayonnaise, meat and meat products, nuts and nutshells, oatmeal, facial tissues, freezer paper, greasy pizza boxes, microwave popcorn bags, paper napkins, plates, cups, paper mm-hmm. cups, paper plates, other items. Dryer, lint, feathers, hair, houseplants, leaf and yard waste, nail clippings, pet hair, popsicle sticks, sawdust, and paper bags.
So maybe we can get to the point where we have no garbage. What's in your recycle box?
Recycle?
Mm-hmm.
There's papers.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically all. Cans and bottles. Cardboard.
Okay, Madeline, how about when we... how do we conserve energy with lights in our house? Or what we use?
Turn them off when you're not using them. Turn them on in the nighttime. It was a very dark, dreary day. That's an excuse to turn them on in the morning. But if it's a nice, sunny day, open your curtains. Let the sun shine in.
And we have energy-efficient light bulbs, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
In the summertime when it gets hot, what do?
Well, wear very light things. Have a fan that would from side to side and side to side, and sometimes you can use your air conditioner, but not too much because that takes up lots of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it's a really super hot day, and maybe you're napping or going to sleep, then you turn on the air conditioner and it's nice and cool. Sometimes it gets too cold. That's not good. How we save energy? We don't turn the lights on in the morning. It's so sunny. If you're cold, wear sweaters. But if you get a really hot day and you don't want to be hot, then instead of turning on the air conditioner to make you cool, you can go outside. And that will cool you off. The end!
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.